This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 397 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And joining me from Melbourne, Victoria, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Oh, yeah, hey! Woo-hoo, yes, I'm here. Hello. What?
Okay.
I got distracted and then you came in my ear saying something about mentioning my name. I thought I'd better pop up.
Right.
I drifted off for a while then. I was just having a bit of the dulcet tones of your voice was putting this.
Right.
Boring me senseless, something like that.
Of course.
Awesome.
So how was your week?
Yeah, all right. I've been a little bit busy, but just planning stuff for my trip to the States later in the year and trying to coordinate stuff with sponsors about what I'm going to be doing at the big photo show there and trying to get my workshops the week prior organised.
Right. That's October, I think.
So Photo Plus, which is the big New York Expo, is on the 24th to 27th of October.
Right.
And I'm running some workshops further down in Pennsylvania on the 20th, 21st, and possibly 22nd of October.
Ah.
It depends how much energy I can put in.
Right.
I'm ignoring about taking the families. That's been sort of trying to work the logistics of all that.
Right.
Anything else. So make sure I'm not working too much. But there's been a bit of news. Tamron have asked me to do a shoot on their stand every day for the length of the conference, which is nice. I'll be doing a 45-minute demonstration lighting shoots, which should be good.
Nice.
I'll be doing some little travel talks on the Black Rapid stand.
Cool.
Probably doing something with Think Tank Photo as well. And Tamron just asked me today to put in a submission to do one of the main seminars of the show as well. So we'll see if I get accepted for that. So
is that like a keynote kind of thing? Or?
Well, they have like major speakers, major seminar speakers, and lots of them. This is a big show. I mean, might be 50 or 60, 50. I've never looked. A lot.
Yep.
Six, for all I know. People doing so the choice was asked me a choice of three things to do. I could do a 2-hour shooting session,
right?
Where people participate.
Yep.
A 1 to 1.5 hour talk.
Yep.
Or a photo walk. So I ruled out the first and third straight away.
Right.
A, involving more work.
Yeah.
But also the shooting session would be 50 people maximum.
Yep.
But you're trying to get 50 people to take photos in 2 hours. It's just it's not a recipe I want to work under.
That's really only giving them 2 minutes each.
Yeah, look, I work on nuances of centimetre here and a centimetre there, and that's just doesn't work in a group of 50.
Yeah.
So that's not going to work. Photo walk, again, walking with 50 people.
Yeah.
It's very hard to give anyone an experience.
Yep.
But an auditorium of 200 or 300 people who all have to listen to me.
Yep.
I can do that easily.
You can bore them all senseless equally.
I can bore them all, but I can share information to everybody in one go.
Absolutely.
And hopefully the those who accept it or grasp it or whatever will take on board some stuff.
Yeah.
And everyone gets to have an experience of me being a dick. So to me, that makes the most sense. And of all, and frankly, my thing I love doing the most is public speaking anyway. I love that. So standing on stage is a great thing. So if I could run workshops like that, I wouldn't actually do any work. That'd be awesome. So planning all that, so I'd like, hopefully that'll come together. It'd be nice.
Yeah.
So I've been nailing down that, and as I said, just trying to decide if the kiddos and that'll come along. And then I've been trying to organise this June trip to Bangladesh to photo this Eid festival, but it's just too hard. trying to convey to the people on the other side exactly what I want, and having confidence that that's actually what's going to happen.
Right. As in organising tour guides over there?
Yeah, well, I know the people, but it doesn't always translate.
Right. There's,
so I said, well, I gave a brief outline of everything, how I wanted the thing to be done. I wanted to run the week like a photojournalist assignment.
Right.
From, it's your job to photograph these people travelling to the festival, to the Eid festival, and how do people travel, on tops of trains and overflowing ferries and all that. So telling that sort of story.
Yep.
Then I would tell the story of people getting from there to where the festival's at,
Yep.
Then there's a lot of prayers, telling stories of people praying, going to the mosques, people praying in the streets, all this sort of, thousands and tens of thousands of them. Yeah, telling that sort of story. Then how they celebrate outside of the actual religious part of the ceremony? You know, do they get together and drink? Do they get together and dance? How do we tell that story?
Yep.
And then the story of them returning home.
Right.
So I want it to be a photojournalist type assignment where you're storytelling all the way through.
Yep.
Not just take pretty pictures,
yep.
But trying to convey that to them, and they've come back. Oh, we're going to go to the brickworks on this day, and we're going to go to the high dying building. No. Not about that. And they're trying to charge more for this 7-day trip than the 12-day trip, which is on Sunday.
Right.
Why is it more expensive? I don't understand. Yeah. And so it might just become too hard to do for June, and maybe have to do it next year.
Right.
But I think the concept's really cool. I'd love to run a trip like that that has one focus in mind, is telling a story about a particular event.
Yep.
Would be seriously cool for those who want something a little bit different from their travel. Because, look, you don't go to Bangladesh anyway for its great buildings and architecture. You go there for the people.
Yep.
And this would be a great way of showcasing a very important part of their culture and capture some astounding photos. You know.
Yeah.
But anyway. That didn't come together. So that's been my week. What's your week been like? Has it been fabulous?
No.
Yeah, so normal.
Yeah. the second model flaked.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a surprise. Gosh.
On the Sunday morning of no less.
Of course, yeah. What was the excuse?
Oh, there were multiple.
Of course.
Which is always a good sign.
I can't decide which one's going to work better here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Blues Brothers with John Belushi down the tunnel. An old friend came in from that sound. The car broke down. We ran out of gas. Look, I was busy.
Yeah.
Any excuse.
So, yeah, the moment I hear multiple excuses, I just know. Yep,
go on. Tell us what they were.
Oh, well, the first one was, I've been looking at the timetable, and it's going to take me 3 hours to get from, you know, where I live to Terrigal.
Yeah.
And I had explained on at least 3 occasions via Facebook Messenger, all you've got to do is get to Gosford. I will pick you up from Gosford because I only live, you know, 5 minutes from Gosford Station. You know,
how far a trip would that have been then?
What, from her place to Gosford?
Yeah.
1 hour on the train.
Okay, so an hour, yep.
Right, so that was the first excuse. It was going to take 3 hours to get to Terrigal. I was like, well, you don't have to go to Terrigal, you've only got to get to Gosford. But anyway, and then the second excuse was, and my family's now visiting today, so I can't...
Oh, excellent,
like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, and I've got a bit of a cold.
Yeah, whatever.
I've got a great big pimple on my nose.
Yeah. Anyway, so Mermaid Shoot didn't happen, so... Yeah, went to all the trouble to travel into Sydney last weekend to pick up the mermaid costume, only to find that I, you know, didn't have a need for it. Then I had a third model who I shot with about 3 or 4 years ago, who was great and who posted an image on Facebook saying that she just dyed her hair red. And so I sent her a message and I said, hey, while you've got your Ranga on, do you want to do a mermaid shoot?
Explain Ranga to those who don't know.
Nobody needs that explained.
People overseas don't know what a Ranga is.
A Ranga is a derogatory term for someone with red hair, and it's derived from the word orangutan.
Now, for Adam Davidson, explain what the word derogatory means.
I'm sure he knows what derogatory means.
No, I'm sure he's heard people say those comments to him often.
So,
he knows I'm only being serious.
So first of all, she comes back and she goes, oh, that sounds like fun.
Oh,
and so I sent her a message, and I haven't heard boo from her since. And that was on Monday.
Like, I'm not going to do it, but it sounds like fun.
So there is a fourth model who had reached out to me middle of last week, like 3 days before the second model bailed on me.
Yeah.
And had said she was interested in doing the shoot as well. So I need to reach out to her. But the thing was, when the second model cancelled on the Sunday morning, I thought, I can't, you know, buzz this girl, you know, now and say, hey, can you be in Gosford in 3 hours for makeup? You know, because I thought that's a bit harsh. and puts her in a spot, you know, where she's said, yes, she's interested, but, you know, she might not have been able to drop everything and run, you know, like that. So I didn't reach out to her that day because I thought, no, that's just unreasonable. I'll, you know, leave it for another weekend. But Kath and I are going away this weekend. The following weekend is Easter. Following weekend, my mate Dave's coming. By then, it's, you know, mid to late April. It's going to be too bloody cold to be in the water anyway.
Yep.
So I'm thinking this idea is just going to sit on ice for the next 6 months and I'll revisit it in November.
And November's too cold. November, start planning for February, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable.
And then the job that I applied for that I didn't want to disclose the...
Congratulations.
The institution, yes. I got the rejection email today. So, and that was for NIDA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the National Institute of Dramatic Arts. Most people in Australia would have heard of
it. So you got a NIDA for NIDA.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, so they were looking for an audio lecturer. Thanks, mate. So, in all honesty, I kind of expected I was going to get rejected on that one simply because I've not had any teaching experience in a classroom environment before.
Oh, yeah. So it's difficult to go from nothing to someone who's fairly,
to something like NIDA, which is, very upper level teaching institution for the dramatic arts and performing arts.
And you haven't had any real experience with audio stuff either, like in the real world, only like adverts.
Yes, exactly.
So it's like you've done movies.
No, I have not done movies. And I haven't done theatre sound, which is essentially what NIDA is teaching.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I kind of expected...
Add your depth, in other words.
Yeah.
But, you know, I understand for Centrelink, you've got to be applying for jobs so you can keep getting the pay for no work.
I'm not getting Centrelink.
I know.
So anyway, it's been one of those weeks. So, anyway. Yeah,
disappointing.
Should we talk photography?
If you have to.
Just for something different.
Yeah, if you have to.
Listener number four.
Who? Yes.
Mr. Rob Coates.
Yes.
I am so disappointed with Rob Coates.
Disappointed most of our listeners, so what's difference?
He has clearly been listening to other photography podcasts.
Really? He's been cheating on us.
He has.
Good on him.
Do you know what he said in an email?
Is he sending us tips?
Do you know what he said in an email?
What did he say?
He said, "What an astoundingly interesting episode. I had to lie down for a while to recover. Well done."
Oh, he said it to us by mistake.
Exactly. Exactly. Disgusted I am.
Who was he sending it to?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it rings back and tell us. My father wrote a porno. My dad wrote a porno. I can totally understand because that podcast is hilarious. If you haven't been listening, people, my dad wrote a porno. Oh, it's the best thing on any podcast ever.
What is my dad wrote a porno?
Well, this guy's dad wrote a porno. He's retired and he was a bit bored, so he wrote a porno book. And his son and a mate of his and another, a female friend of his got together and they read the book.
The podcast and it's a podcast.
Yeah, and they take this out of it. So it's called My Dad Wrote a Porno, and it is a hilarious. But sorry, it started out with his dad's now wrote three. Well, they're on season three for the third book.
Right.
I think he's written like seven books so far. But they started out just recording this in a friend's basement or whatever.
Okay.
They just toured the world doing live stage shows, reading from the book.
Wow.
They sold out Sydney Opera House two nights in a row.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's from England, but it is hilarious. I mean, they take this guy's father's grasp of anything to do with anatomy is beyond the pale, and they're reading it, and so the guy whose father wrote the book, he kind of reads. They read one chapter a week, right? And he kind of pre-reads the chapter only that day, so he can get a feel for the flow of how to read it. Yeah. And these two haven't heard it at all.
Oh,
so
they're, okay.
They're responding live to what's being. It's hilarious. It's very addictive. My dad wrote a porno.
Podcast
going around.
Yeah, right.
So Rob Coates, what an astounding, interesting episode. Did he put down what episode that might have been for?
No. Presumably he's referring to last week's episode. Your memories of Bangladesh. Where'd you go?
Bangle.
Yeah. Okay. So he was very impressed with it, and so were a couple of other people.
David, I saw no feedback on the Facebook. I thought, well, no one got anything out of that.
Well, David Putzia also commented on the show notes.
I think it's Pulitzer. I think they're applying for a prize.
Putzia, yeah. He said, these images are awesome. Well composed, nice lens choice, colours, processing, and bokeh. Bravo.
Oh, but he's only comparing those to any of the other photos we show on this podcast.
That's right.
To yours. he's not saying that in comparison to the photos you see on the internet, just the photos we normally show on here.
Right. And Lior from Israel said, Glun, G-L-U-N-N.
That's the accent.
Glun, outstanding photos. I wish you posted more, and thanks for a fascinating discussion. I came perilously close to actually learning something.
Jeez, I'm very sorry. Well, we won't do that again. Look, if you follow my Facebook page, my name, Glenn Lavender, there's only one of me. Yeah, friend me on Facebook, and you'll see 50, 60, 80 images from Bangladesh, maybe. I don't know how many, but a lot.
Yeah, right.
So if you want to see more, there's plenty there.
Cool.
But thank you. I was hoping people would get some, regardless of the quality of the photographs, good or bad. I'm not disappointed with the photos from Bangladesh. It's just the normal run-of-the-mill stuff. There's no real lofty heights.
Right.
Which is always a bit...
For you personally?
Yeah. Right. You hope for these one or two or three really just great images. I don't think I've got anything like that. But, as I said, my expectations are 6 to 10 images a year.
Yeah.
So, if I can go a two-week period and not take one, even though I'm in a good place, that's kind of an average. I liked a bunch of shots, but I don't think there's anything particular, over the top exciting about them.
Right.
Just interesting. Yeah, the thing is, you look at photographs of interesting people doing interesting things in interesting places, the photography itself doesn't have to be that good. The actual subject can hold a fair amount of interest in the photograph itself. All you really want it to be is reasonably well composed, really well exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can manage that. You're doing,
you're halfway there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Something I came across a couple of weeks ago was the underwater photo of the year for 2018.
Do you have to judge the photos underwater?
Somehow I doubt it. That would make for an interesting judging panel, wouldn't it?
It would be funny to see. You have to be in the realm that the photos are taken in to understand the complexity.
Yeah. I love the first one.
I can't even get it open here. It's a gander here.
I just love the sense of scale in that.
Scale. He's never going to lift that. That's just stupid.
Of course.
What's the man thinking? He's never going to push that boat back up.
Never. But,
Here's the thing. You say sense of scale.
Yeah.
I reckon it has the opposite effect. I reckon it makes the boat look really small.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I mean, you imagine a boat to be huge, yes?
Well, it depends on the boat.
I know, but...
If it's a dinghy, no.
Yeah, but this if you only saw a photo of that without the man there, you'd think it's a very large ship. Because there's no other context, no other thing to give. But as soon as you put a man there, you go, it's only about 15, 20 foot wide, which is not. it's not like a massive ship. It's not like a container ship or one of these big super tankers or anything. It's just a little small boat.
It's a medium size,
So to me, the scale gives completely the opposite effect. It makes it look very small.
Okay.
Interesting. Hey, but that's what's cool about photography. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right. You're wrong. It's cool about photography. What's this next one down? This underwater. What is it? The green and blue one.
Yeah, I don't know. But the third one I really like, not for the foreground interest, but for the background interest.
Oh, is that a moray eel about
to go? It is a moray eel about to snaffle up these, whatever they are, sea slugs.
Yeah, very interesting.
That's pretty cool. And then the swans.
That's surreal, let me just call it that.
But he couldn't have staged it.
The entire thing could be photoshopped.
I don't think swans are open to taking direction from photographers somehow.
Yeah, but the whole thing could be photoshopped. I don't know. It just...
Don't know.
It's interesting, I guess. Yeah. It's a cool looking shot. Don't go up. It's a seriously cool shot.
Too perfect.
I bet he could be just really good at Photoshop, or just picking up all the shadows and the highlights. It's a cool shot, though. No doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, I gave him the benefit of the doubt of believing that it was real, and based on that, I thought it was an excellent capture.
Yeah, yeah. I like the next one down
with the coral.
Yeah, it's just as a more natural image. It's pretty darn cool. Once again, if we're talking about storytelling, it's got a lot of cool stuff going on there.
Yep.
The only thing I would have done is I would have put in some more blue sky, and I would have straightened up that structure on the jetty.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, just pull those. Like, yeah, you do a bit of content-aware fill.
Yep.
And
try and straighten the verticals.
Just to fix them, just to pull something. It kind of makes the image lean a bit to one direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas that would make and it's kind of going away from you. It's leaning and going away from you. So to me, it kind of draws my attention away from the coral a bit too much.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, and my eye keeps getting pulled up to that top right-hand corner. Where if that would have been straightened, I think what the effect would have, I'm trying to pre-visualize it, if those lines were straightened, what that would affect would make your eye go down the steps and follow them into the water more.
Yeah, right.
I think the way the eye would follow, would those people would have more impact in the photograph than they do.
Right.
But still a cool shot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next one I can take or leave, but the surfer I really like.
Yeah, it's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Particularly given that he's that close to the coral.
Yeah.
And then the eel or whatever it is that's wrapped itself up in a circle is pretty cool.
That's very cool.
And the car's interesting.
Hey, the car at the bottom of the water. Yeah. It's so out of place.
I know. Great. It's great. Yeah. And it's a Volvo. It's the car that deserves to be underwater.
Tell you, the one of the shark going through the ball.
How cool is that?
That is very cool.
Yeah. You know? So anyway,
I reckon our friend though David Duchemin.
Yep.
He's been doing a lot of underwater photography of late.
Right.
And I reckon every one of the images of his I've seen lately would beat any of those.
Yeah. Right.
Some incredible stuff with seals and sharks.
Right.
Just and once again, beautiful light. Yeah. Just some gorgeous. So if you want to see if you like underwater photography and yeah.
Yep.
I do. Yeah, go and look at some of his underwater stuff. It's been exceptionally good.
Nice. Listener number four, Rob Coates, was back to us again with
a week.
He said,
start charging extra.
He said, blast, I wasn't aware of this in time to bid. And it's the Leica prototype, which became the world's most expensive camera. So this was a Leica prototype from 1923, which recently fetched a record price at auction in Vienna. It was snapped up for 2.4 million euro, or 3.75...
Yep. I was actually bidding on that.
Were you really?
Yep, absolutely. Seriously, I bid on that. I started at the first bid of $20,
right.
And then it went beyond me after that. That was straight through the roof, you know. Great, how fast that thing shot up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I like doing that. I like to go to house auctions, and when they say, it'll start me off, I'll go, 500,000.
Yep.
And then say, okay, and then people bid above you. Yeah, I tried.
Yeah. I'm out now.
Just like somebody else bids.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it can go all horribly wrong if no one else bids.
Run away.
Adam sent us a few different stories over the last couple of weeks.
Derogatory, Adam.
Yeah. So the first one is chutzpah, the man who wants to sue the photographer for removing the photos that the first guy is stealing.
Oh, God.
So that's a story you just have to read for yourself. It's yeah. So this guy's
just the first line. I must say, I'm quite upset. I've been using images from your website on my website for a long time now, and suddenly they are gone.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So yeah, that's great.
That's gold, isn't it?
The next one, and I thought you would have seen this or been interested in this. This is the new Canon 470EX AI Speedlight.
I did see a guy I know through a guy showing one on Facebook.
With a friend of a friend? A foaf?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. So this thing can swivel its head automatically?
Yeah, why?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it in action. And I'm thinking, how does it know where you want the head of the Flash to actually face? Because you don't always want it faced at the subject.
Well, that's why they're talking about bounce Flash, dude. That's why it's not, yeah. That's why it changes okay. to do this. But how it knows angles and it's just bizarre.
Yeah. So have you? You haven't seen one in the Flash?
I haven't seen anything at all.
Okay.
The only thing I could imagine, and I'm, that would be moderately useful, is if you're taking a photograph of someone with a flash, and you've chosen to do, say, side bounce off a wall.
Yep.
And you've just kind of pumped to the angle. You've moved the flash yourself to roughly where you think it's going to be the right spot to side bounce it. When the camera focuses and gets an idea of the distance from the subject and has done a pre-flash and figures out how far away the wall is, it goes, oh, no, the optimum angle actually should be a little bit this way a bit.
Right.
And it changed. If it could do that, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it can somehow figure out all of that without you having to set up the first shot, well, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. So the problem is, I mean, there's not an awful lot of situations where you're using bounce anyway. I mean,
yeah.
As a working photographer, given the choice, you'd rather off-camera flash because it's
sure.
More consistent and better control, and you don't require a wall to be with you everywhere you go.
And unless introduced color because of the surface you're bouncing off.
All that stuff, yeah. So it's interesting. Let's just get more and more technology to do more and more work for us, so we have to think less and less, and photography be better.
That's right. Dear. And the next one that Adam sent us was, beware of 500px's very quote-unquote, flexible pricing. Now, I haven't read this story, but the banner image that they've got on this blog post on Petapixel is the price of $748 struck out and replaced with the price of $8.
Oh, that's good value.
Very good value, unless you're the photographer selling the work.
Oh, that's not so good,
No. So, obviously this is... You know, if you want to sell your stuff as stock photography through 500px.
Yeah, so he goes, this guy had this thing all set up, and he had a $149 picture sold for $27.
Ouch.
And a $299 print sold for $3.96.
Ow.
And products for resales purchase that was priced at $748, only earned him $8. So, so $77.90 was my total payment for three licenses for each photo. Wow. They were priced at a total of $2,392.
Yikes.
Payment was done through PayPal, and my total take-home earnings were $54.54 from $2,392. Yeah, there's somewhat of a disappointment there.
Yeah. I guess pays to read the fine print.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Sure does.
Next one from Adam was, photographer captures stunning images lit by drones over the mountains.
Yeah, did we do this one already?
No, you may have seen it. But he did post it on the Facebook wall, so you may have seen it there while you were traveling. But we haven't spoken about it on the podcast. Okay. So, yeah.
He's getting its perfect circles.
Yeah. I haven't watched the video yet. I must go and do that.
Yeah, you must put some effort in, Bruce. I'm sick of this coming on expecting you to have done all the work and you haven't done. I'm sure the listeners are really disappointed in you.
I'm sure they are.
What we need to do is protest, Bruce. Get on the Facebook wall, send insults.
Yeah.
Nothing else to do. He hasn't got a job.
That's right. The next one is, quote unquote, the Russian Vivian Meyer discovered after 30,000 photos found in an attic.
They say that like it's something special.
Yeah,
but these people who shoot these $500 weddings, they shoot 30,000 photos per wedding.
Yeah,
I mean that's one weekend's work for these people.
Yeah,
it's not like quantity doesn't make quality.
Exactly.
Have you seen any of the photos?
To be honest, like I've looked at the photos and I'm thinking most of these aren't amazing. They're just snapshots of life.
They're a moment in time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think
is a moment in time, Glenn.
a moment now no longer with us. Also, every photo we've taken. One of the things I think that give her the Vivian Meyer reference is I've only seen two selfies in this bunch already. Now, Vivian was famous for photographing herself in scenes.
Right.
So maybe that's where, A, quantity of photographs, photographer not known to the outer world.
Yeah.
From a distance back in time, in this case back in the 70s.
Yep.
And maybe some, you know, casual referencing to, yeah, selfies, yeah, herself reflected in surfaces and stuff like that. So
yeah. Anyway.
But either way, 30,000 images in the days of film, and
that's a lot.
If we took 30,000 photos, how many of them would be good?
Well, for you, probably a lot.
No, not really, still. So, I mean, it's the same thing. You look at those photos and go, oh, yeah, they're okay, but ours probably would be as well, especially back in those days when it was film and a lot more simple times.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And the last one I found very interesting, photo contest judges raised the alarm, we didn't judge anything.
Oh.
So this was the International Photographer of the Year photo contest. 11 of the 14 photographers who were listed as judges say they weren't asked to judge a single thing before the winners were announced in February. And the other three couldn't be contacted, so presumably they probably weren't either. Although the list of judges for the competition has been removed from the IPOTY website, the original list of 14 judges can still be seen on other sites that the contest was publicised on. So, sounds a bit shonky.
I'm just going to see if there's anyone there I know.
funny. Yeah. Bit embarrassing. The photographers all got together and wrote a letter. Not sure who they wrote that to, whether it was to Petapixel. It said, we, the photographers below, represent 8 of the 14 listed judges. There are 3 others in the same situation as us, but who did not wish to add their names for personal reasons. Remaining 3
Let's run. See, there was 14 judges. There's 8 of them already come forward. There's only 6 left and 3 more. I think we can figure out where it's some of those 6. Just a bit of a giveaway.
So, yeah. So that's bad.
That whole judging, I just don't know. I'm thinking about starting up my own photo competition.
Are you?
Doing a photo salon. Seriously, a worldwide
salon?
A salon, which is what they say called in Europe for photo competitions.
Right. Okay.
So watch this space next year. I might do something.
And what would you do in your photo competition?
I'd run a competition and judge people's photos and snicker. No, not the last.
But you have been quite...
I'd get together an international panel of judges.
Yeah.
To critique people's... I don't know.
Because you won't judge.
It's probably best if I didn't judge.
Well, I was about to say, you've been quite vocal in the past about how much you hate judging.
I mean, I'll do it, but people don't like me when I do because I'm honest with them. No, that's not true. I'm not honest. I give what I think, which is honesty from my perspective, but doesn't mean it's true. It's just my view of things, yeah. But, yeah, so if I was to do something, I would have an international panel of judges that probably wouldn't include me.
Right.
I'll just be, one of the coordinators.
Right.
Thinking something on the, like a Fremantle Portrait Prize kind of thing.
I'm not familiar with that.
Really? So the world's premier portrait prizes. Oh, dear.
Right.
But what I thought was a novel concept, if we did a portrait prize,
yep,
we might have a first place a photo of a person.
Nice.
Could be a stipulation. the conditions must be recognisably humane.
Yeah. Yes.
I've got one last thing to add to you. I just sent it through to you then. I found this kind of interesting from this company called NVIDIA.
The video company. Yep.
Yeah. Well, they've come out with this algorithm which you can take any photo style and any secondary image and apply that style to the image and get that style applied to your image.
Say what?
Yeah, so I've got photo A and photo B, and I want photo B look with the same style of photo A.
Wow. So
you just press this thing and it automatically does it.
That's incredible.
It is. So who needs to learn Photoshop anymore? Just go around and steal everyone's, oh, I love what that person's done, right? I'll save that.
Jeez.
No, I don't understand, but the, I don't quite know how the program works,
mm-hmm.
but there's some sort of software. You've got to kind of join this GitHub group and then download some text and some program code or whatever,
right.
And somehow apply it through some sort of program to make this thing work.
Right.
But if you're computer savvy, because obviously, like myself, you are,
yeah,
it could be kind of a cool thing to play around with.
Yeah, right. If anyone does actually go and give that a try, give us a yell as to how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. Send us some photos. And then tell me how to do it, because I'd like to make my post-processing much easier. I'd get the award-winning photo from every competition and put that style on all my photos. That'd work, wouldn't it?
Maybe.
I see photos, gee, I love that style. I have no idea how to do that.
Yeah, right.
But I'd like my photos to look like that, but I have no idea how to do that.
Right.
So I could just do this. I could just do that and get this, and bang, job done.
Yeah, right.
I've often thought about getting these guys like on Freelancer and stuff and say, here's my photo. Here's the one I like. Make my one look like that.
still, I suppose you could.
Yeah. Live with your limitations. Limitations? Both. Now, I just had an idea. This is episode 397.
Yes.
Episode 400's coming up.
Yes, it is.
We should get our listeners to send us some suggestions, what we could maybe do. Maybe we can make you, because you've got nothing else to do, put a highlights package together. Shouldn't take very long. But what I thought I might do is I might try and get in touch with a couple of my sponsors.
Yeah.
Tell them that this is the big numero 400-0.
Yep.
Because that's how they say 400. And see if I can get some giveaways.
That sounds good.
Work, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Get a few bits and bobs to throw out to the masses. I mean, there's only 7 prizes. So it's not. Everyone gets one. And if you can think of some method of getting people to find out a way of getting, how do we get the prizes to an unknown listenership? Yeah, there's lots of people, I'm assuming, who listen to the podcast for whatever reasons, mental health or other, that we never hear from.
Yeah.
So how can we get a prize to them if they never ever comment? So we're going to find a way to get people to do something.
Yeah.
Maybe we can set up like a just enter your email address.
Yeah.
Into something, and we'll Facebook mine people's data and sell it to US politicians, and. And just do a random draw for prizes.
Right.
But something where people, they have to feel like they've got to try and, this is a fascinating conversation for
it
live air.
Epic. Yeah, it's great.
I think we should do all of our 400 just speculating on ideas like this.
Yeah.
That would be a fair, good summation of this series.
All right. So,
any ideas for number 400, get them in quickly, because we've only got a couple of weeks to make it happen. And let's go from there.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. Well, I'll talk with you next week then.
You will. Good. Everybody. Thank you, mate, for listening.
Bye.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
Another audio2.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.